Hello, and welcome to the Marketing and Engagement Podcast brought to you by 2355 Productions. This podcast is all about exploring different tactics for marketing, but also strategies and techniques to create lasting engagement with donors and customers. I'm your host, Ryan Sarver, and this is episode number 6. This episode's going to be a little different. We don't have a guest with us. It's just Lauren and I chatting. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Yes, isn't it? Isn't it so good? Anyway, so we're going to be chatting a little bit today. We've had several podcast guests that have talked about storytelling. And so we thought we should make a little podcast just ourselves talking about what's the best way to find stories. Because I think that's a problem that as we do work with organizations, businesses, and nonprofits, that we kind of run into on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes I think people are settling or trying to make something work in a scenario where it's probably not the best fit. And so talking about how do you avoid that? How do you make sure that you have what you need when it's time for you to tell a story?
Yeah. So with that in mind, we thought we'd share a little bit about things that we've learned or techniques that we've had other organizations use to help them find stories, and not just one-off things, but to create a culture of storytelling so that they always have something with them. So I think that's one of the first things we talk about is why you need to be doing this, why you need to be curating stories. And when I say curating stories, it means like you're just always gathering what's happening in your organization. It's a great way to create transparency about your work that you can share with others. It's one thing for you to talk about yourself. It's another thing for someone else to talk about you. It's that social proof of what you do.
Right. I think it just provides validity for what you do. And it's a way, I think, kind of leading into this next point, it's a way for you to check yourself and go, hey, are these results that we're seeing from these stories, do they match up with what we say our mission is?
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if you're a nonprofit, if you're getting money, and it's another thing if you're selling a product, but like kind of going, are we actually accomplishing what we want to accomplish here? And so this is another reason why we think finding and curating some stories is really beneficial, not just for sharing with others, but also for you internally. And then I think the also other thing is you never know when you're going to need a story.
Right. We were talking about this and just thinking like, even if you don't have an immediate need for a story, don't tune out. You know, this is something that we all need to be doing regularly. We never know when we're going to have a need, when we're going to need something for a certain marketing piece. And so having those stories at the ready that you're regularly collecting puts you in a place where you can kind of just make sure you don't feel that panic and you're not trying to force something in to a spot it doesn't really fit because it's just what you have at the time.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things I just want to make clear is when we say story, this doesn't necessarily mean video. I mean, we are a video production company. That doesn't necessarily mean like every story needs to be a video. It can be a blog post. It can be a pamphlet or something that you hand out or an email. So this is not just for creating a video, but this is just like, how do we always have at hand stories, information about what we're actually accomplishing with our business or a nonprofit or an organization?
Right.
Yeah. So I think before we get started into like capturing stories, I think one of the things that's really important for us today is to kind of define what is a story. Because I think, again, if you've read any marketing books in the last 10, I'm going to even say 12 to 15 years, like story has been a huge, huge word for good reasons. But in some ways, it's almost, I think, become a buzzword.
Right.
Like everybody's saying like, oh, I want to tell your story. I want to tell your story. I want to tell your story. And some people are truly telling stories and some other people are not telling stories. And so I think on the front side, what I want to do is maybe talk about what is a story, or at least for us, how we define it and what is the structure of a story. So as you're curating it, you kind of go, am I actually capturing anything that's even worthwhile?
Right.
So for us, a story is, and some of this borrows from Donald Miller, who has storybrand.com. He borrowed a couple things from Hollywood about what is the structure of a story. But in a simplistic term, as we think about story and what's happening, what is the commonly agreed upon structure is you have a person with a problem who encounters some kind of solution, and that solution would be your product, your organization, or something like that, and then the outcome. So there's three at least main components, and this is really high level. There's a lot of more,
right?
There's a lot more nuance underneath this, but that it's a, you know, you have a problem, you have a solution, and then you talk about the outcome. And so the big thing is, and I think this is the key piece to any story, is a really clear transformation. As you walk through that, the person has a problem, encounters a solution, and they find an outcome. The transformation is the crux of everything. If there is no transformation, did anything even happen at all in that?
Right, right. And that's kind of the pivotal moment of your story when you're saying, hey, this is the problem. This is what happened that helped me out. And this is how I am now. And then you kind of go back and review that and say, hey, I went from being, you know, it could be, I went from being frustrated to this certain situation, and now it's easy for me. You know, it could be any number of things, but you're kind of focusing a little bit on maybe an emotion for people, but you're really focusing on that transformation moving from one point to another. And the catalyst for that is what you do.
Yeah. And that transformation doesn't make sense. And I think this is the part that usually gets glossed over, is the problem. You know, everybody says like, well, I have a product and it does this, without talking too much about the problem. And the reason that we have to talk about the problem that's being solved is other people can see themselves in the problem that you solve. So, you know, if it is like you talked about, that from frustrated to like relieved, you know, if you're frustrated with your bookkeeping to relieved, that's a big deal. But if I never talk about my frustration, and, you know, you have an accounting firm and you just say, we do taxes or we do bookkeeping, you're not talking to my felt need of like, yeah, I need my books done, but I, more importantly, I need to not feel frustrated with the work that I'm doing.
Right. I mean, if there is no problem, why should a solution even exist?
Yes.
And so you're kind of validating what you do in a way by pointing to that problem and starting there.
Yeah. And this works for a business and a nonprofit. This is not exclusive. I think that's, you know, with the nonprofits, obviously you're existing to solve a problem, so that's got to be forefront. And with a business, with a product, with whatever you're selling, is like, it's clearly got to be the problem out front. And so anyway, story is all about transformation. And if there is no transformation, then maybe it's a promo piece. Maybe it's not a story. Maybe you're just talking about your features, but let's not call it a story, because it's not a story. You're just telling us about your product. And that's not necessarily bad. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all for marketing, but I think just the conversations we've been having with some of these organizations about telling stories based upon the work we've done with some of these people and how we know them and what they're doing, this transformational aspect is the key piece of the story.
And so I think today what we want to talk about is some of the problems that we've seen with organizations that we've worked with in finding stories and the difficulty in that. And so, Ryan, what do you think are some of the most critical problems, I guess, that people have as we've been working with people over the years?
Yeah, I think one of the, and it's not like, it just happens. Like, it's not like anyone did anything wrong. But I think what happens is we get in a room and we start talking about, we've got an event or we're trying to raise funds. And we start asking like, okay, who can talk about this?
Right.
You know, once we get beyond like, okay, the CEO's, the executive director is going to set it up, or, you know, this is going to happen. But you want to tell, they want to tell a story of transformation. They want to tug at people emotionally, and that's in a story. And so what typically happens is everybody knows about 2 to 3 people that are potentials, but not much past that. You know, there might be rumblings of something beyond that. And so, and what our discovery has been is that in some of these organizations, sometimes these stories have been told before, written, or they've had someone speak. And so it's, we call it like the low hanging fruit syndrome. It's like these stories that are immediately maybe the huge ones that just pop up like right in your face. And again, they might have already been told. And so it's, you don't want to necessarily tell those stories again. Not that they're bad, but if you're saying the same thing to the same people, that story loses some of the power. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that we run into, is that there's the low-hanging fruit, stories they've already told, which are good, mm-hmm. but sometimes those stories have gotten used.
Right. And I think it's usually somebody that has like a long history with the company or organization, or there's a good relationship there. They're invested and they're involved. And so it's kind of the issue is, how do we get beyond that? Those people that we're invested with and involved with regularly, to find those stories of someone that's maybe not quite as invested, or you just don't have that relationship with them yet. So how do you get beyond that point?
Yeah. And what we're going to talk about here is, I think there's no system in place. You know, it's, well, we haven't needed this stuff before, or we've had what we needed before, but we don't need it now. And so I think that's the problem. What we're going to talk about is, how do you move beyond this? Because I think, again, like in some of these boardrooms that we get into, it's everybody knows three or four stories, but then you go past that, and they don't know, and they don't have, and they're not equipping people below them to feed those stories up. So what we talk about is like what we've seen and how we've seen some organizations really take on this culture of storytelling, and how have they done that to make sure that they have consistent amounts of stories to tell, of content to, you know, plug into the blog, to plug into an email newsletter, to plug into videos. And so one of the things that I think is the most important as we talk about this solution of sorts of how do we fix this problem of the low-hanging fruit. And I think the number one thing that has nothing to do with any systems per se is, everyone has to know what success looks like, and like, what is the transformation you're trying to bring about with your product or with your service. And sometimes even at the top, you know, success has not been defined. But if everyone knows what success looks like for you, they have a much clearer idea of, this is a story that talks about what we're all about.
And I think also, every good outcome is not necessarily defined success for your organization. And I think that can be part of the trap that people fall into. You know, you're doing these things and it's generating good outcomes, but maybe you need to really kind of drill down on what specifically does success look like for you, so that you can identify those stories and make sure that they're stories that do work for you and what your mission is and the results that you're wanting for your organization.
And once everybody's on that same page, I mean, this is beyond just creating a system to curate stories. There's the whole other back piece to this, right? But making sure everybody's on the same page of, this is the true success of our organization. Again, like you said, Lauren, that not every good thing is necessarily like what you're about. And so making sure everybody knows what you're about, and then that helps trigger for them, this is something we need to be talking about. We need, right, to be sharing the story, because this is the win that we want to share with our customers, that they can win, or our donors, like, this is what you're equipping. Like, this is the kind of change. So they know they're part of bringing about a particular change.
Right. And I think it should be said too, that this is not something that happens overnight. Yes. There's a lot of thought that goes behind it. And it's not something maybe that you'll do just one time either. I think as organizations grow and learn and change, the mission and the success for your organization might change as well. So I think it's always good to do kind of a check-in, even if you've already defined what success looks like for your organization, kind of a check-in and say, hey, is this still true for us? And is this still go along with our mission? Does this still go along with the results and the changes that we're seeing in people that are using our product or our service or coming through our organization?
So the two things we want to talk about is like the two sides of a system. Now, we're not going to talk about like the specifics about how you implement this, but that there needs to be two sides of this, an employee side and a customer client side to this. Again, this is not just a switch that you flip and it's just like, oh, we're just flooded with all of this great stuff. It's a slow process. And again, when we say curating, it's a slow process of totally gathering stuff. So I think for us, and what we've seen some organizations do is, you know, it's as simple as, especially on the client customer side, is a form on a website. I think the thing is this all has to be encouraged. Like, this is not right, something that you can just put up and it's just going to naturally happen. So I think it has to start internally with you getting everybody on the same mission and then saying like, hey, we've built a system. Maybe it is the website as well. You know, or maybe you've got an inside portal where it says like, hey, tell us your customer success stories. And I think it comes back again to that same structure. What was the problem the client had? How did they use our solution? And what is the outcome from that. And so, you know, creating an internal system where it's, you know, maybe it's those questions. What was the problem? What did they use from ours? Or what service did they get? And what path are they on now? That doesn't mean that's the whole story. You know, this is just a system for you to gather the baseline information for you to say, you know what, I need to reach out to that person and have a phone call. And then I think the same thing happens with your clients and customers. Again, this has to be encouraged. I think for us with our business, we're regularly asking those that we work with, like, what worked? What didn't work for you?
Right.
And I mean, that's a little more of just like a general review process, but kind of going, how did you feel when you were coming into this, you know, when you were shopping for video production companies? How did you feel about your product? Like, how did it help you? How did it help you win? And so we've done that with like a Word document. You can set up a website form. And I think the thing is we always ask for permission that, hey, could we share some of this and promotional material? But there's no promise of that. And I think that's really important because I think sometimes, you know, you can call someone up and say, hey, I want to hear more about your story. And you're like, well, how do you want to use it? Well, I don't know necessarily.
Right.
But I want to know more.
You do want to be upfront about that because especially when you're dealing with a customer or client, you definitely don't want people to assume that their story is going to appear somewhere and then it never does. And then they feel like they wasted time or something like that. So yes, I do think it's important to be upfront about that.
Yeah. We've gotten caught in that trap a couple of times where it's, hey, we're going to put you in a video. And, you know, we've just been brought in at the last minute. We haven't had the chance to do some of the pre-production work that we would typically do with someone. And it's just like, well, this isn't really this. It is a story, but it's not the story that you're trying to tell. And so it can create for some awkward moments. So if someone tells us, hey, we might have a story, and then we'd get on the phone with them, we tell them, we're a video production company. We're being hired by them to produce a video. I'm not saying this that you're going to be in a video, but we just want to hear more about your story.
Right. And I think something that's really important is just the very, very simple thing of just asking and regularly asking people. And I think that if you're not asking, obviously, you're not going to be getting stories. And so the way that you ask, the format in which you do that might be different, and you might find some things where you get better results. But the ask has to be there. And I think if you don't ask and if you don't regularly ask, people will assume that you don't need it. Sometimes they may just offer something up. I mean, that may happen, but more likely than not, people are not just going to come to you with stories. You do have to ask.
Yeah. And one of the things we talked about before we even started this was like, you know, this is different than like getting Facebook reviews or Google reviews. You're not right. You know, reviews are one thing, and that may lead to something where you reach out to them to go,
I want to. It could be a catalyst.
It could be a catalyst like that. And so not everybody's going to fill this out, but, you know, you can even look at those reviews that you get. Again, you want to be pushing those for other reasons besides just, you know, storytelling, you know, SEO and all that good stuff, but kind of going, you know, even use your reviews as kind of the potential building block for you to tell a story. You know, I always see this on some review sites, like, glad you had a good experience. Well, yeah, that's good. But how are you using, besides just adding that up to more 5-star reviews or 4-star reviews, like how are you taking that story to make more out of it? Because customers are your best sellers.
Absolutely. That's why for us, we always say, you know, testimonial videos are one of the best things you can do as a business or as a nonprofit. Have someone else endorse you, someone else tell your story.
Yeah, social proof. So again, like setting up a website, setting up a web form for internal and external, have at least everybody internally kind of understand what success looks like, and then ask these questions. What was the problem? How were they helped? How did we help them? How did our product help them? And what is life like now for them? How is their life better because of what they've experienced with our product, with our services, working with this? And then again, like this is this whole transformation piece of like reflection. Have them think about who they were before this process started to who they are after. We had this conversation not too recently doing taxes. We won't name names, but several years ago, we had an accountant firm that we'd worked with. We'd been referred to it. And tax time was always a very stressful. We didn't feel like we were getting a lot of information, and tax time was awful.
We are not gifted in that area. I'll just say that as well.
I have QuickBooks and I look at it and I see things, but I don't know. I see things as long as there's not a lot of negatives. There are no negatives. I mean, there's negatives when I spend money, but you know, just what's happened.
It's not in the red is what you're trying to say.
See, this is why I need an accountant. So anyway, so we like tax time was terrible. And I remember just feeling like going to bed, kind of going, what is happening? Switch to another accountant. And we regularly say like, oh my gosh, this is the best decision we could have ever made for our lives. Just because the amount of help. And so like our transformation was like super anxious about the federal government. You know, in tax time to like,
right.
Hey, we've got the right guy in our corner and like we're relieved and we can focus more on what we need to be focusing on in April or this year, July. We can be focusing on what we need to be doing, not those other things. And so like that's our transformation was like, again, from this anxious to like relieved. And I think I'm sure there's plenty other small business owners that are anxious about their finances and tax time. And so like if you're an accountant, and you're taking that anxiety away, you need to be make sure that you're saying that transformation from like anxiousness and confusion to like, I mean, again, no one likes tax time. I mean, it's nice to be part of civilized society,
right.
But you know, what to expect and know that everything's done properly.
Yeah. And I think for us in choosing him as our new accountant, we knew going into it that he was somebody who wanted to be accessible to clients. He wanted people to feel like they could ask questions. He wanted to be a partner to his clients and kind of alleviate some of those stresses. And I mean, we regularly say we are stupid in this area and he knows that, but he's the expert and he's there to help us. And so kind of knowing that going into it was really helpful for us, I think, in choosing him.
You know, but I would say probably on some accountants, if you went and talked to them, they would all say, oh, I'm very accessible to my client. You know what I mean? Like you got to get past some of the marketing buzzwords and you got to talk about what you're delivering to the client. And so for us, it was peace of mind.
Right.
So anyway, that transformation got enough.
Sorry.
Way off. Wow. Long story about taxes. Anyway, but so yes, that transformation is a key piece of this. So again, this is a baseline system for curating stories. And it's not even really a system. It's just like, you got to do it. We didn't give you a system. It's just, here's who you need to be talking to. And here are the questions that you need to be asking on a regular basis. If you want to have stories, if you want to have material that is pushing it out there. So you're not just pushing out a brochure talking about your features and services.
I mean, we talked about this kind of going into this episode, but we just did an episode with Trisha Reif from the Wesleyan Church, and they have really just created this culture of storytelling where really there's almost an expectation that people are going to be sharing stories. And that's something that obviously they've worked really hard to do. They have systems in place. It's intentional. It didn't happen overnight. You know, one of the things that I think encourages people to continue to share their stories with you is when you are sharing good stories, you're sharing them well, and people can see what's being done with them, they can kind of catch some of that vision and see, hey, if I share this story or I share my story, this is the potential of that. And it's helpful to the organization as a whole, and it's useful. And so I think just that continual sharing is also an encouragement to people to be a part of it.
Yeah. And I think one of the things kind of going back to what Trisha said this last week, and Trisha said some good things, and we've heard this before, is but like she talks about even sometimes telling the small stories, you know, like it's, you know, we talk about low hanging fruit. The low hanging fruit are typically like these huge, like major wins, and they should be celebrated and they should be told. But sometimes even in those little wins, those little stories can have just as much power. And when Trisha talked to us, you know, she talked about those little stories can be just as impactful. And it's a different audience that likes some of those little stories. They can see themselves in it. And so by having a system like this, again, as you pointed out, like once you start telling stories, other people will start sharing their stories because they see that it's valuable to the mission and what's going on with the organization. that you can start to get those little stories that mean a lot. You know, we think about, we talked with Karen Spataro with Raleigh Children's Foundation. They do that a lot. You know, they share sometimes just cell phone footage from inside a hospital room. You know, there's a, right. they put some context around it, but not everything's overly produced, and it's a little piece of a story.
Yeah.
And so, and they have great success with that. They're soliciting that from people. They're asking people that they're at the hospital, a parent or a guardian of some sort, like, would you mind sharing some of that stuff? So they're asking for the stories. And then, you know, if you go on their Facebook page, you hear all these people saying like, I'm a Riley kid, or my yeah. child was in Riley. And so they've created this culture of storytelling, just like the Wesleyan Church. So
absolutely.
So this is just the building blocks. And, you know, you can build a database of this stuff. And not all these stories are going to stay relevant for forever. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to constantly be, again, this is not just a one-time thing. It's you got to come back, keep asking. And then, you know, some stories are going to be not relevant anymore. And that's okay. And you may not have even told them. That's okay. But you have a system set up where you're constantly hearing that. Again, it's a good internal reflection about how you're doing. Are you accomplishing your mission? But then it's also allowing you to have things at the ready if you need to start telling a story. And again, you don't need to have all the details, you know, and we'll talk about this, and I think in some other podcasts, but kind of going, this is the start of a phone call where you can, right. where you can further dig into the story. And Lauren and I have already talked about, you know, having a podcast about how do we dig into a story with someone? How do we find something that's interesting beyond just sometimes the surface is good, but how do you dig down those deep that really makes it a very interesting story? What we wanted to share today is that the system is not a system, but it's a culture.
Right.
It's a cultural system of how do we continue to engage those outside of us, outside of our organization with content about what we're doing. And again, this is for businesses as well. You know, I know we say organizations a lot, but because we do a lot of work with nonprofit organizations, but this works for businesses as well. What is the problem you're solving? What is the gap that you're filling? Mm-hmm. And make sure that you clearly articulate the transformation someone has from before they encountered you to after.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it for today. If you would like, you can find show notes at, and this is going to be a change for us, 2355productions.com. We had been at marketingandengagement.com, but things were getting a little hairy trying to manage both websites and keeping the content fresh and moving things along. And we also want to tie in some of the other stuff that we produce to make those connections really seamless. So if you go to 2355productions.com, you can go up to the menu at the top and you can click podcast and you can find show notes for this episode and all of our previous episodes. And that's where we'll be living from now on. Still the Marketing Engagement Podcast, brought to you by 2355 Productions on 2355productions.com. Please don't forget to subscribe on your favorite platform to continue to get episodes delivered to you as soon as they're released. In our next episode, which will be coming out in a couple weeks, we'll be talking with Kimberly Watts, who is the Director of Development for Center for Global Impact in Franklin, Indiana. They have a boutique down there called Buy2V. They work with some folks overseas that have been, some of them have been trafficked, some have been just taken advantage of, but they employ them and give them life skills and so forth. And so we get a chance to talk with her about how they're pivoting right now as they, like most nonprofits, have a large annual event that helps fund them through most of the year. And of course, because of a virus, it's not working out so well to have a big event. So we talk about how they're pivoting to a totally virtual event at the end of August. It's really a fascinating conversation about how they're working to keep everyone engaged during that time online. So we hope that you will join us. Until then, take care.